Hello, this is Pastor Stephen Simpson. I'm reading to you from the April 2025 pastoral letter. This letter is entitled, The Greatest Story. First of all, I sincerely pray that all is well with you. This will be a significant letter with personal health news, a Gatlinburg conference update, and also some encouragement from God's Word as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm truly grateful for your friendship and support. May I ask you to please listen carefully to what I say in the next few moments? Everything that I see and want to say here is viewed in the light of the greatest truth that I know. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. This is the good news that we all share. This is the gospel that we proclaim. God's Word, the Holy Bible, tells us that God created humankind in his own image. He lovingly put us together, cell by cell, with a glorious purpose in mind. But the first man and first woman, Adam and Eve, chose to rebel against God's purpose and his life-giving guidance. Their sin brought separation from their Creator. It marred the relationship. It brought confusion, strife, and mortality, not only for them, but for all of their descendants. And you can find that tragic story in Genesis chapters 1 through 4. However, even in that devastating moment, God promised redemption and restoration for humanity. His Spirit provided gracious guidance. Through leaders, through prophets, through his holy word, he raised up his own chosen people in the lineage of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, through whom the promised redemption would come. Their descendants faced many hardships, sometimes brought on by their own bad behavior. Yet God never forgot his promises to them. Then, in the fullness of time, a baby was born near Jerusalem, in the little town of Bethlehem. This little baby was of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through his great-great-great-great-grandpa, King David. This baby was the son of Mary, who had been filled with the very Spirit of God himself, so that she conceived and gave birth to this child named Jesus. He was the fulfillment of God's promise made long ago in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. Jesus, who was fully God and also fully man, carried the promise of redemption, not only for the descendants of Abraham, but for all of humanity. Though Jesus faced pain and temptation like any other man, he lived a perfect and sinless life. Jesus healed the sick. He comforted the poor and the oppressed. He worked miracles. He showed people who and what our Father God is. Jesus was literally the living Word. Of course, this blessed many people. But it also troubled many other people who were in power. Some kings and rulers feared him. Religious leaders who had forgotten God's promises regarding their Messiah, well, they mostly hated him, and they were jealous of the love that the people had for him. And so, even though he was completely innocent, Jesus was accused and then sentenced to death in a sham trial. Before being executed via hanging on a cruel cross, Jesus was tortured and mocked. The wrath and torment of all of humanity's wickedness was poured out upon him. They had no idea what they were really doing. But once again, in that dark and horrible moment, Jesus had nothing but love for humanity. In fact, he prayed for Father God to forgive them. Then, in the midst of his excruciating anguish, Jesus found strength and hope to quote the beautiful prophetic words of Psalm 31:5, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." As a sidebar, let me just say I'd urge you to read all of Psalm 31 to see what Jesus is confessing here as he died on the cross. It's magnificent. This was not a statement of weary defeat, but of confident victory. Knowing that the Father was at that moment defeating sin, death, and hell for all of eternity. Many years ago, I heard our friend Evangelist Mahesh Chavda say, "One drop of the blood of Jesus is enough to destroy the entire kingdom of Satan." Jesus died not only for himself, but for our sins and for our redemption. And that's not the end of the story. On the third day after his death, the Holy Spirit of God came upon Jesus' lifeless body and raised him from the dead. Jesus stepped out of that tomb in power and glory. Now you can read this account in Matthew 28 or Mark 16 or Luke 24 or John 20. You know, when Scripture says something once, it's important. When it says it four times, that's an exclamation point. Well, may we not only love this story, but may we recommit ourselves to telling it to the people God has placed in our lives. I love to tell the story. As Jesus savored the sweet sunshine of that resurrection dawn, he encountered friends and followers such as Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and other women who had come to the tomb to mourn his death. Jesus said, "I'm not dead, I'm alive." And he told them to run and tell the other disciples. Jesus eventually appeared to them all and 500 other witnesses. He taught them for weeks about his kingdom. He promised his Holy Spirit would be with them as their guide, their strength, and their comfort. Jesus made it clear that his kingdom was not of this world, and it was not found in man's wisdom or fleshly dominion, but it was instead, as Paul later wrote, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You could even say, the kingdom is in the Spirit. That's found in Romans 14:17. Jesus told his followers that the time had come for him to ascend into heaven, to be with his Father. But he promised that he would prepare a place for them in heaven and would return to gather all who believed him. Then Jesus gave his followers a great commission, sending them out into the world to preach the gospel, to baptize believers, and to make disciples for his kingdom. Jesus ascended, but he did not leave them alone. And you know what? Jesus still does not leave us alone. Today we walk in the reality of his resurrection life, every day, believing that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us today, he will give us abundant, overflowing, eternal life. Look in Romans 8:11 for that. So, what I'm about to share with you from my heart, I do in faith and confidence in God's word and promises. I say what I say in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For many years, and some of you know this, I have battled diabetes and chronic kidney disease. Following a bout with COVID in 2022, my kidney function became dramatically worse. I've been diagnosed with stage 5 chronic kidney disease. And apart from supernatural healing, I'm now facing the likelihood of a kidney transplant, should I be able to acquire one. This month, I will be evaluated by one of our region's finest kidney hospitals to determine my eligibility for the procedure. I'm also facing a heart catheterization in the future, as well as arterial stents. Should I do that, it could possibly throw my kidneys into total failure, in which case dialysis would be required. But I want you to know something, and I say it truly, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. But my condition and symptoms are serious. Now, in the middle of all of this, my dear wife, Suzanne, who has faithfully served as our CSM administrator for decades, has just been diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. Thank God, we've caught it early, but it requires immediate and extensive surgery. I'll be sharing more about this in the days ahead. Her faith has been strong, and she's digging deep into God's Word and in times of prayer and worship, as am I. And as I write this, both she and I have been undergoing a battery of tests and scans. Nonetheless, we have been reminded of this, and I'd invite you to sing this in your heart as I sing it in mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. A beautiful hymn by Fanny Crosby. We ask for prayer, for healing, for strength, for provision, and for wisdom in this season. We've faced much intensive spiritual warfare. Not now, but truthfully over all of our lives. But we know this. If God is for us, who can stand against us? We know this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I want to give one more update, if I may, regarding our Gatlinburg 2025 announcement. You know, we've been meeting together in Gatlinburg almost every year since 1999, and a really beautiful community has developed out of those gatherings. We were planning, of course, to do another Gatlinburg conference for 2025. But after prayer and counsel with our CSM board and with my own personal pastor, Robert Grant, I believe that the Spirit is leading us to lay our 2025 Gatlinburg conference upon the altar of the Lord and to make room for whatever He wants to do in this new season. For me personally, it's been a very hard and painful decision. I cannot adequately express the love I have for all of you and the joy of gathering together as a spiritual family to celebrate the faithfulness of God among us, to be equipped in the mission ahead. However, the Lord is leading us another way for the foreseeable future. I apologize for any inconvenience this may cause you, and of course, we'll be refunding everyone's registration as soon as possible. We don't sense this is the end of all of our gatherings and time of fellowship, but we want to hear clearly from the Lord about how to best address the challenges ahead for the church in America and globally. We want to know what God has for us in the future as a ministry. Please stay in touch with us and stay in touch with all your Gatlinburg friends. We remain a spiritual family. You can watch our Charles Simpson Ministries Facebook page. You can visit our csmpublishing.org website for more information. And we're about to launch a new Instagram account. Our ex-Twitter account, at csmpublishing, remains active, as does our CSM Publishing, all one word, CSM Publishing YouTube channel. We will continue to develop new ministry resources for you in the months ahead. I'm presently able to write and speak for churches and groups within a limited travel range. You can call our office for more information at 251-633-7900. In the wake of my father's passing and my own curtailed travel, our ministry income has been significantly down over the past 14 months. Nevertheless, our ministry opportunities and our needs remain, including our support for other ministries. Would you prayerfully consider giving financial support to the ongoing work of CSM? We are reaching thousands of people with the gospel. We're reaching people we have never reached before. We've broken out of the cocoon, and we've connected with many who do not yet know Jesus, but who are hungry for His presence and His salvation. What I am saying and doing these days is not simply for our in-house friends, but for our friends who are still out there, who are weary and scattered, particularly in the younger generations. Loneliness, despair, drug abuse, and other mortal enemies are stalking our young people. Suicide and self-harm are at an all-time high. The call to restoring the generational bridge has never been more urgent. So I would really ask that you pray for us as we step out of the box and we go where we've never been. Praise God, He's gone before us, and He will make a way where there seems to be no way. I want to thank you so much for allowing me to share my heart with you this month. I never take your time and attention for granted. We love you and thank God for you, and we lift you daily in our prayers. This is Pastor Stephen Simpson. Lord bless you.